This is really a continuation of the sermon that we did last week, and where we looked at the cup of the covenant. And by the grace of God, today we shall look at what we refer to as a better covenant with better promises. Tell your neighbor, a better covenant with better promises. Indeed, it is a better covenant with better promises. And last week we were able to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and we're able to see that during the Last Supper, that Jesus said, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We preach. What they are proclaiming is preaching. We preach the Lord's death until he comes. And what we are able to see is that because Jesus was saying there is a new covenant, it means that there is an old covenant. And the old covenant is really the law of Moses that is given, the Ten Commandments. And we are able to see that no one can fulfill the Ten Commandments. If we were to be asked, be it a child, be it an adult, be it a pastor, be it a priest, there is no one who can say he has never failed on any of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because of the weakness with the people. And so we've been able to learn that the old covenant came as a schoolmaster, or it came as a tutor. And in Galatians chapter 3, maybe you can just show us, Galatians chapter 3 verse 19, it says that what purpose then does the law serve? And this is a question that Paul was telling the Galatian church. What was the purpose of the law, or of the Ten Commandments, or the old covenant? It says that it was added because of transgressions. That means it was added because of sins, till the seed, which is till Christ, should come, to whom the promise was made. And it says, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Verse 20, now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God, which is God's promise to Abraham? Certainly not, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23, it says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. That means before Jesus, there had to be given a system for us to understand right and wrong. You understand? Because you can imagine, God has this community. In that time, you have all these different idol worshippers. You have moon worshippers. Like Abraham, his family was a moon worshippers. Then God tells him, you, Abraham, leave your father and mother. Leave your parents and go to a land I will show you. Now, God wanted a new community. He wanted to create a nation, a holy nation for himself. Now, for this nation, he has to show them how can they know right and wrong. And one of the things that we have established, every law on the earth for all the countries in the world is based on the old covenant, is based on the Ten Commandments. The common law is engraved in every law of any country. Because if you kill someone, whether you ask for forgiveness or not, you will be arrested. Even if they forgive you, the law will still say, this one is our citizen. You have killed. Even if the parent has forgiven you, the law will still take its effect. You understand? So the old covenant was to show us right and wrong, but it was there before the righteousness that is by faith has come. Now, verse 23 tells us, but before faith came, we were kept under guard, that means under tutelage, by the law, kept for the faith which will be revealed, afterward revealed. Verse 24, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. That means that the old covenant was there to bring us to Christ. It points us to Christ. And even Jesus says that I come as a fulfillment of the law. Now we say that the old covenant had two aspects. The people will say, we will obey God. And God said, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. The punishment that will be on the Egyptians will come to you. So we have found out that the old covenant is perfect, in that the law is perfect. The Bible tells us that the law is perfect. If you read Psalms 19, it says that the law is perfect and it revives the soul. The law has no mistake, in that God's covenant is perfect and those rules are actually right. That if we follow them, then we know the truth. But the fault is with the people. Why? Because as human beings, we say we will do something, but we fail. If you promise you're going to, many people, maybe they have promised, oh, I will wake up and pray. But then at that time when the alarm rings, you turn and turn. you promise, yes, God, I will pray. Or maybe you have promised that you're going to give your tithe or your offering. You promise, but then we fail. Why? Because the fault is with the people. And God realized that these people are not able to have a covenant with me on equal basis. Why? Because I am holy. I am perfect. I am faithful. Now, God in the old covenant is faithful to his part. Now, his part was, if you fail, I will punish you. And the Israelites, they failed. And so God has to be faithful to what they agreed. They agreed that if we fail, punishment will come. And they were sent to exile. Why? Because God is also faithful to his side. So now, because he realizes that the problem is with the people, he has to say, no, I need to make a new covenant. Now, this is why we are saying we are having a better covenant with better promises. Now, if we read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Verse 7, if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another, but God found fault with the people. And this is what we are saying, God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I, now God is on saying, I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Verse 10, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they need teach their neighbor to say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their sins, their wickedness, and remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Now, there are some things that I want you to see about this new covenant. The first thing that we see is that God is the one that initiates it. Jesus is the one. His disciples did not ask him for it. But Jesus, on the Last Supper, he says that this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Now, he's saying, I am the initiator. Because in the first one, you say that if you do this and you do this, we have to meet in the middle. But then now he's saying, God is the initiator of the new covenant, and not only is he the initiator, Jesus is its mediator. Now, who is a mediator? A mediator is someone in between. A mediator is someone who, if you fail on your contract, you have like a guarantor. Imagine if you took a loan, and then in the loan, you say that if you fail to pay, you will lose your father's inheritance, your land. Now, you can have a guarantor for your loan. Now, a guarantor is someone that says, if this person fails, I will pay on their behalf. Now, when we say that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, that means that he comes in between us and God. And how does he come in between? He comes to fulfill that which we human beings fail. So, in the covenant with God, in the old covenant, we fail to be righteous. But Christ comes and is in the middle, our mediator. And when God looks at us, he has to see Christ first before he sees us. Imagine Christ is this pulpit. Now, if me, I want to believe in Jesus, what I do is I come and hide myself in Christ. Now, when the Bible says your life is hidden in Christ, now when you are hidden in Christ, then, and if God is on the other side, you come maybe with your sin, you have failed, you have tried in your effort, you have failed. Now, when you come and say, God, it's not my effort. I cannot do it on my own ability. I can only depend on what you have finished and completed on the cross. Now, this is now where Jesus comes in between as our mediator, between God and man. And when God sees Jesus, because Jesus is perfect, he never sinned, then he fulfills the covenant for us. So, when you come and hide under Christ, and God comes to meet you, he cannot see you as unholy. He cannot see you as sinful. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for our sins. In fact, the Bible says that in the new covenant, we are now under, we are his bride, his wife. Now, if for those who are married here, and your men, can you allow someone to slap your wife when you're watching? Even if the man is very muscular. I see some, you know, on Facebook, you see there are these guys who come with muscles. And then they find a young man, a small boy, talking to his girlfriend. And then he lifts him up. But this small boy, the small man, when he comes down, he is ready to fight. Even if this man is big, because he feels that you are putting my family at risk. So now, when we are united with Christ, when we come and we are joined with Christ, when we put our faith in him and we become his bride and his wife, then we say that, Christ, you stand for me. And now, before God, when God wants to bring judgment on our failures, and he sees Christ, he says, you are the righteousness of God. Now, this is something that I want you to understand, that God is the initiator of the new covenant. Number two is that Jesus is its mediator. Then number three is that God, in the new covenant, he fixes the problem of the old covenant. And what have we said the problem of the old covenant is? The people. The people, we human beings, anyone who is Adam, when you touch yourself and you feel some flesh, then there is a problem with you. And the Bible says he fixes the problem with the people. And what was the problem with the people? He says that he deals with sin. Why? Because the deal breaker between God and the Israelites and God and his people is sin. The thing that separates us from God is what? Sin. Now, God has to deal with the sin breaker, with the deal breaker, which is sin. Now, how does he deal with it? He deals with it by paying the price for sin. The price for sin is, the wages of sin is death. So, for God to fulfill his righteousness, for you to become the righteousness of God, Jesus has to die for us. And that is why some people don't understand. You say you are God. Why don't you save yourself? Jesus was being asked on the cross. You are God, yes. Why don't you come down from the cross? You saved others. Why don't you save yourself? Come down from the cross. But he was seeing you and me. And he has to fulfill the agreement or the laws of God, because God cannot contradict himself. He has said, if you sin, you must die. Sin is death. The payment for sin is death. Now, Jesus says, okay, I agree. Let me die for them. Now, because we accept that Jesus died for us, now this is where you put in your faith. You say, because Jesus died, I also died with him. And then because Jesus resurrected, I also resurrected with him. And then it says, because Jesus ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible tells us we also are seated with Christ on his throne, far above all powers, all thrones, all dominions, all principalities. Now, the place of the believer is that our place is that we not only died with Christ, and this is what we represent when we do baptism in water. We go under the water. We die with Christ. But then when we come out, we are resurrected. So it's symbolic that we also resurrect with Christ. And then Jesus did not just resurrect. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated demons. The Bible says, and every legality against you, he nailed it to the cross. That means that when you put your faith in Christ, curses, generational issues, everything legal that is against your life is nailed to the cross. Every curse that should follow you, maybe from your community or from your tribe or from your grandparents, great-grandparents' sin, the Bible says Christ became a curse for you and me. Now, God deals with the deal breaker. The deal breaker is sin, and Christ deals with it. And in the new covenant, sin that separates us from God is dealt with. And God says, I will change their hearts. That means, how does he change our hearts? He writes his law in our hearts. That means that you don't even need someone to tell you, you missed church. You know that. You don't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has written his law in your heart. You know by the way, what I'm doing is wrong. You will know, actually, I've not prayed this week. You don't need someone to teach you. When he's saying, no longer will anyone need to teach you, that means that it gets to a point where someone does not need to condemn you. The Holy Spirit within you convicts you that, you know, you've not been living right. Now, he says, if you're faithful and just, I am willing to forgive you. I am ready to forgive you. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, when the Holy Spirit brings light to our where we have failed, he's just telling you, confess. And when you confess, what does God do? You immediately feel a peace of God. You immediately feel like it's like your child. Can you imagine when your child has messed up? Do you chase away that child? Do you say, this is not my baby anymore? No. Your child is your child. The child might be misbehaving. The child might be on drugs. But he still remains your child.
That is the way when we have believed in God, we are his children. And no matter how far we go, the reality is his love and his connection and the thing that gave us life is still working in us. There's still a seed of God in and every one of us that still brings us to the light. I tell you, you can be far from God, but every time you hear the mercy of God and you just say, God, I am back. And he says, welcome back, son. Let us enjoy it together. Let us get a new garment for you. Let us put on a new robe. Let us put on a turban. Let us give you some shoes. Let us bring the fatted calf and slaughter and rejoice. Why? Because this son of mine, he does not say, this son who wasted my wealth. He says, this son of mine was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he is found. God is always waiting for us to just say, I am here. I don't know how to do it, but I am here. I don't know how to pray, but I am here. I don't know how to be a husband, but I am here. I don't know how to be a wife, but I am here, Lord. I don't know how to work in my office, but I am here. I don't know why I am struggling in business. Maybe in marriage there are delays, but I am here. And I don't come on my own effort. I don't come on my own righteousness, but I come hiding under Jesus. And I say, because Jesus is righteous, you can hear me. And God hears us. Every time when we come under the blood, he hears us. Amen. The Bible says we are given a better covenant with better promises. Amen. We have seen that what are some of the promises of the better covenant? Number one is salvation. The Bible says everyone, Romans 10 verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that cry, just say, God, save me. Says, okay, I'm here. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we have talked about this. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift of God. You cannot boast about it. Yes, you might be a preacher, but you cannot boast you are preaching because you have fasted 30 days. No, you can only preach because God allows you to preach. You can only work because God allows you to work. When you understand the grace of God, you know that everything that is given to you is just by the mercy of God. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. You are breathing today. You are being alive is a gift of God. Not your effort that you can boast, but it is the gift of God. We have also seen that one of the promises is that Christ pays the full penalty for sin. And this you have said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We have also seen the better promises is that there is righteousness that is given through faith. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing before God. When you say you are righteous before God, you just, when you appear to ask for something and he sees you through Christ, he says, my son, what do you want? He says, my son. Why? You're not coming to say, oh, God, I've come. No, you just come hiding and say, God, I've come through Christ. That's why Jesus said, you pray in my name. Why? Because you're coming under. You're hiding under the name. And you're coming in the name of Jesus. You're saying, I'm not coming as Emmanuel. I'm coming as your son, Jesus. And I'm asking that you heal my body. And God says, yes, you are healed. Miracles come when we come in the name of Jesus. That's why he said, you will cast out devils in my name. You will heal the sick in my name. You will raise the dead in my name. Why? Because you're not coming in your own effort as Kumbi. You're not coming as Diana. You're not coming as Jane. You're coming in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, and in the authority and in the office. You're coming from that throne where he says he's seated, far above all principalities, all thrones, all powers.
There is no one who can cast out demons without knowing where they sit with Christ, without knowing the office where they sit, without knowing the power of the name. So you, if you think you can come on your own, there is someone who will say, no, this one cannot go without prayer and fasting. Try. If you, even after you are fasted, if you come in your own name, you can run, you can be beaten and go naked. But if you come in the name of Jesus, then you can receive the grace. And this is the righteousness, the right standing that comes by faith. God also gives us eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is not just life without end. Eternal life is past, present, and future. Past. Eternal is beyond time, beyond our understanding. And it says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That means a life without end. That means that even when we die, the Bible says that Christians do not just die, but they sleep. Why? Because we just sleep and we are waiting for the trumpet to go and be caught up in the air. He says, do not mourn like people who don't know God. When they die, they are mourning because they don't know where they are going. They say, oh, pastor, pray for my mother, or pray for this person because that God will help them. When you have died, it's too late. Because when you die, you now enter into eternity. Now, in eternity, there is nothing like time. Now, on earth, you have what is called time. Now, think of it this way. Angel, when the devil sinned, why could he not be forgiven? Because he sinned in eternity. He sinned, that means the moment he sinned past, present, and future. He has sinned. And his judgment was done, past, present, and future. But now God has to show another wisdom of God. The Bible says he reveals a manifold wisdom of God. What is that wisdom of God? He created something called time. Now, time is where destiny can be changed. In time, as long as you're breathing, you still have the chance to follow after God and to believe him. In time, you still have the chance to repent. When you die, it is too late. We cannot pray for you. You are gone. The Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, then judgment. That means that when you're on earth, you have the chance to be forgiven. You have the chance to follow after Christ. You have the chance to believe in God. You have the chance to do the things for God. But the moment your breath goes, it's too late. We say we are burying the body. We don't even say we are burying your name. This is the body. Why? Because you are not in it. You have gone to the place, either you have gone to hell or you have gone to heaven. And awaiting judgment. So, as long as you're alive, you have a chance to repent. You have a chance to come to God. As long as you're still alive, you still have a chance. And that's why he has given us eternal life. We have also talked about better promises, which is he has defeated the devil and all his powers. And we spoke about this last week, that he has disarmed principalities and powers. He has Colossians, eh? He has 2 verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That means that to the believer, the devil has no power. To the believer, the devil is disarmed. As long as you are hiding under Christ, when the devil comes to see Christ, what does he do? He runs away. Why? Because he has already been defeated. Amen. You can imagine the demons, when they were seeing Jesus, they will cry, oh, Son of God, what have you come to do with us? You have come to judge us before our time. Now, when you are manifesting Christ, when you are living in the fullness of Christ, you can enter a room and demons start to leave people. Why? Because they see Christ in you. The Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've also talked about victory over curses, which I have mentioned. We also talked about the blessing of Abraham, and this is the blessing of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Can you say, "I have been blessed"?
I have been blessed.
Not "I will be blessed." I have. That means you have it now. With every, say every, not some, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In fact, there's a version that says, "in your union with Christ." That means that in our union with Christ, we can enjoy every blessing that is for Jesus, is for you and me. That means that the cars you have, your wife can drive them without asking it, right? The land you have, when you go, your wife will inherit them, whether you like it or not. True or false? They will take them. Why? Because you are union. There's a union. You are united together. You are one. That's what the Bible says, the two shall become one flesh. Now, if I disturb you, I have disturbed your wife. And now he's saying the blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So I want now, when you start reading the Bible and you see that everything that Jesus did, say, "I was there doing it with him." Every miracle that Jesus did, you were in him doing it with him. You are not separate from him. The Bible says we are united with Christ. I want to finish with one point, and this is about health, and this is part of the better promises. And this is what we are able to see. And I just want to compare the covenant that was there in the Old Testament about healing and the better promises that are there for healing in the new covenant. Now, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, what does it say? It says that, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." Now, the Israelites were told, "Look here, if you serve the Lord, I will bless your bread and water." Sickness mostly comes from food, right? You eat a lot of junk, your body also develops junk, right? You count garbage in, garbage out. I eat it, people. So, he says, "I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take away sickness away from the midst of you. And no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. And I will fulfill the number of your days." That means you're not going to have an early death. Amen. You're not going to die young. Why? No, because you are in a better covenant. Now, this is even just for the old covenant. Now, in the new covenant, there are better promises. It's a better... Why? Because it's now not even dependent on you saying that you will serve. It's dependent that Christ already served. And we just come under him and we say, "I am united with him and I'm following him. As I follow him, I obey with him. He teaches me how to obey and how to follow." Look at Psalms 103, verse 2 to 7. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." He says he forgives all. Say all. All your sins and heals all. Not just he fails to heal some cancer or what. He heals all. And the Bible says that, can you imagine? We are told that God tells the Israelites, when you walked in the wilderness for 40 years, your clothes did not wear out. Your shoes did not wear out. Can you imagine? Someone puts on the same shoe for 40 years and it is still as it was new as when they left Egypt. Their clothes, they, can you imagine such glory, such blessing that even on your property, God protects it. Do you think it is normal that people, your neighbors are attacked by thieves and your house is just okay? You don't even know when your last something was missing. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, this is even just in the old covenant. And then we are told now there is a better covenant. Say, it's better. It has to get better. Because now in better, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says that who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, look at it. He's not saying you will be healed. Isaiah says you are healed. That means he's speaking of the future. Why? Because Jesus had not yet died. But then Peter looks at it and says, this one is even in the past. Says you were healed. That means that healing for you in eternity is already given. It's just like blessing is available for you. Salvation is available. Prosperity or the blessings of God are available. Now, it is for you to connect with Christ and believe and receive by faith. Then beyond even talking about being healed, he speaks of Romans chapter 8 verse 11. This is what I will close with. It says, but if the spirit of him, speaking of Christ, of God, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This it means that even before your body thinks of getting sick, the spirit of God starts, it's like, I wanted to use the word virus, right? But it is like a system that starts to work out healing in your body. That the life, he is speaking, when he speaks, the life will give life, that means the Zoe, is the life of God. It will give the life of God in your body through his spirit. That means that even beyond asking for healing, waiting to get sick, God can still bring you to the realm where you are in divine health. Where even as you wake up, as you pray in tongues, as you sensitive to his spirit, he just looks for where there is sickness in your body and he deals with it. And you just, you one day wake up and you ask yourself, oh, I used to have a pain here, but it is gone. Why? Because the life of God started to work in your system, in your blood, in your body, and giving life to every cell of your body, to every bone of your body, to every hair of your body. Jesus did his miracles on every part of the body. He healed eyes. He created eyes. He touched skins. He touched bones. There was a woman who was bent over for 18 years, and he touched her, and she stretched. Crippled men were broken with legs. The legs came forth. Even that which was the end of death just said, Lazarus, come forth. The same spirit that was in Jesus is the same spirit that is given to you and me. You have not been given a lesser Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit lives in you, and he will give life to your mortal bodies. And if you believe it, say it is better. It is better. It is better. Better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. Let us stand and just say a prayer to God and just speak to your Father and tell him thank you for the better covenant with better promises.